And speaking of that, speaking of sharing, we have some student phenology we're going to share with you this morning. Funding for our student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. Our first report comes from Michelle Martin's class at Prairie Creek Community School in Northfield.
Hi, this is Annabelle.
And this is Theo.
We're from Prairie Creek Community School, way down south in Northfield, Minnesota.
We'll start with the roadkill report. We had a skunk, a possum, and a raccoon.
That skunk is a sure sign of spring.
Or it was a sure sign of spring.
We have seen a lot of bald eagles, and Silas is pretty sure he saw a group of about 5 golden eagles.
Ellen and her bus driver reported seeing vultures, but that is a very early sighting, so we are waiting to see more.
There have been geese, swans, and ducks in the air.
And juncos, cedar waxwings, cardinals, chickadees, and mourning doves in the trees.
About a half hour before sunrise yesterday, Michelle heard a cardinal, robins, and mourning doves.
And we've all been hearing the Phoebe song and the pump handle song at the bus stop.
May soon heard a flock of starlings.
We have a mystery bird call. It goes like this.
Do, 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 do.
Any guesses? John and Heidi.
Omley saw a lot of crows, Oscar, and Silas saw a ton of deer.
We tapped a few maple trees last week.
The red osier dogwood is really bright red, and the elder buds are starting to plump up.
This has been Prairie Creek.
One more step along the phenology journey.
Thank you. Nice report, Annabelle and Theo. Good job there. Lots of things to talk about in that report. My goodness. Just getting a start, skunks, possums, and raccoons. I found what I think is the skull of a raccoon along the trail by my house. I know it's a skull. I just don't know who owned it before it was separated from the body. It was all by itself. The scene of the murder was not there. I only had evidence of the fact that the whatever animal it was had lost its head. And so I couldn't really tell for sure just who I was dealing with. But we will check it out and we'll find out more. They have, skunk, possum, and raccoon. All of those are sort of springtime animals, the skunk and the possum. The skunk and the raccoon for sure would be like the same thing up here. Not very many possums this far north, not yet anyway. I don't know about the group of golden eagles at that. I guess there are some, and they do move around in the state. To see 5 of them at one time, that's a bit of a surprise. I would have liked to have been there, checked that out myself. The report of vultures, and I like what they said. It's a very early sighting, so we are going to wait to see more. And that's the case. You know, if you see one, then start looking. Like, okay, tomorrow, will I see another? And if I do, then I'll go back and say, oh, that first one must have been a vulture as well. Geese, swans, and ducks, juncos, cedar waxwings, chickadees, mourning doves, robins calling, cardinals, and mourning doves all calling in that area. So lots of animals moving. In a typical winter, typical spring, those animals will come to northern Minnesota around the 24th of the month. 25th of the month is the average date for robins returning. So I would say that's about right, because Northfield is south of the cities, and the cities are at least 2 weeks ahead of our sightings here. So I definitely think that those robins are moving into the southern part of the state and should be getting ready to head north before long. And of course, the red osier dogwood is bright red, and I haven't seen anything with the alder buds yet, pretty tight still this far north, but we will keep an eye on them and let you know what happens up here. Our next report comes from the Phenology Club at Oak Grove Elementary School in Bloomington.
Hi, this is
Maria,
Iklas,
and Miran reporting from Oak Grove Elementary in Bloomington, Minnesota.
After this week's really cold weather, this week's weather has been turning warm, with the snow melting and causing a lot of mud.
We found a squirrel tail on our playground. We think the fox that lives in our woods got to it.
Today we cut a branch from three trees, a buckthorn, river birch, and red maple. We are going to watch them over the next several weeks and record our observations of how they bloom. Every couple weeks, we will cut another branch from each tree and compare them to the original cuts.
That's all for today. Stay tuned for the next OGE Phenology Club Nature episode.
Stay preppy, we're out.
Thank you, Maria, Iklas, and Miran. Great report. I like the idea of checking out the buckthorn, the river birch, and the red maple, and then going back and trying again and comparing the amount of time from, say, cutting the branch to when it leaves out or flowers, and so it'll be an interesting experiment. I can't wait to hear how it turns out for them. There definitely is. It has been warm, and there has been lots of mud. And as far as the squirrel tail on the playground, I guess it was a bad day to be a squirrel. And they're right; it probably was the fox. I can imagine him dining on all of that squirrel. Except for the tail. Not much protein in the tail. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Ella.
And Gabby.
Reporting from Mr. Caddett's class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of March 2nd.
We heard our first cardinal singing on the evening of the 24th and loudly in the next morning.
Mr. Caddett woke up in the middle of the night to the loud, deep hooting of a great-horned owl in the yellow shells on the 25th.
A classmate spotted a red-bellied woodpecker visiting his bird feeder, and pileated and downy woodpeckers were regular sights this week.
I was able to go along at Camp Ripley as they did checkups on black bears in their dens and held one of the newborn cubs.
The bald eagles continue to be a regular sight around here.
We did hear a noticeable call of raven one afternoon, along with a mob of crows.
As the snow was melting, there were several vultures revealed in our yards.
We found several wild strawberry leaves growing in the woods on March 1st.
There was a group of 15 deer spotted. Two were still carrying antlers.
A muskrat came up through a hole in the ice as a classmate was ice fishing.
We are seeing several small groups of swans flying overhead, and there was a large flock in a plowed field.
The most exciting report of the week was a great gray owl that was seen and photographed a few miles north of town. This is the first great gray owl we have heard from around here.
Willow and red osier dogwood branches are bright red and stand out against the drab background in wet areas.
You can hear woodpeckers hammering on trees throughout the day, another indication of spring mating season.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thank you, Ella. Thank you, Gabby. Nice report. Lots of great things there. Northern cardinals singing. That is such a sign of spring. And there are some cardinals up this far north. So maybe you're one of the lucky ones who has a cardinal near you. Keep your ears out for that lovely song of theirs. It's just a beautiful melody that they sing. And clear, clear sung notes. It's really quite spectacular when you get to hear the cardinals sing. Great... That's our cardinal, and they, the male and the female, both sing, and so there'll be lots of songs to hear once they get started. Besides that, great horned owl, and they're well into their nesting now. They should be probably having, I don't know, babies very soon. They usually start nesting in early February, so... By now, 30, 35 days after they lay their eggs, they should start having their babies come out. Pileated and downy woodpeckers, red-bellied woodpeckers. Ella was able to go along to Camp Ripley as they did a checkup on black bears, and she got to hold one of the newborn cubs. What a thrill for Ella. Man, that is something. I would love to be along on something like that. Ravens calling down there. They don't get a lot of ravens that far south. We hear them much more often up here. Snow melting revealed vole trails. Wild strawberry leaves. Wild strawberries tend to stay green throughout the winter. So when the snow melts in the spring, you'll see those three green leaves. You know, your immediate reaction might be, oh, poison ivy. But in truth, the edges of the strawberry leaves are nice and evenly toothed, which kind of takes them out of the realm of poison ivy, which are irregularly toothed. 15 deer, 2 still carrying antlers. It's a little unusual for the males and the females to sort of be together this time of year, but you never know what might bring them to that. And a muskrat coming up through the hole in the ice. Whoa, I'll bet that was thrilling. So lots of great things in the report from Little Falls Middle School.
John, though, we need to address something that happened in our friends from Prairie Creek.
Oh, the kids from Prairie Creek. Yeah, yes. We didn't follow up on that.
No, here's what we heard.
We have a mystery bird call. It goes like this. Any guesses, John and Heidi?
Boy. You know, I could imagine a chickadee doing that. Fee bee 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 bee. Maybe a nuthatch. Ink, ink. Ink, 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 ink. I don't know. Even if I were there, I'm not sure that I would know. I've been using Merlin, which is an app that you can have on your phone that tells you what birds are calling. And yesterday I used it to identify a woodpecker that was drumming by my house. And I also got on there several other birds that I did not even hear. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, my ears are, they're old. They still work a little bit, but not great. So, you know, the kids are often telling me, what bird is that? And I'll be like, I don't hear a bird. So I don't know. It almost sounds that do, 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 that. Reminiscent, vaguely reminiscent of this, the pattern of a chickadee.
Yeah, but if we do some deducing, like right before he asked that question, he said they were hearing the Phoebe
chickadees,
call of the
yeah,
chickadee,
yeah.
But maybe it was a little different because
they're
not. Could
be just a little different. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said possibly red-breasted nuthatch?
Red-breasted nuthatch. Just a nuthatch, possibly. I mean, yeah, that's not it.
White-throated sparrow, someone is suggesting as well.
White-throated sparrow. Possibly. That one is, yes, I suppose it could be. It seems like white-throated sparrows are a little bit later in the year. I tend to think of them as a May arrival, but I haven't looked, so.
Okay.
Hard to say for sure.
I'll see what, okay.
Oh, sweet Canada, Canada,
yeah,
Canada.
Yeah, maybe.
It's possible. Yeah, white-throated sparrow would be one.
We'll get to the bottom of it and put our crack phonology reporter, Charlie Mitchell, on that one.
There
I think.
You go. Charlie can check that out.
Well, Bill, you get to hang out with us as we do a few more student phonology reports.
Okay. Yeah.
Brightening everybody's day to hear.
Thank you.
Kids.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to a report from Long Lake Conservation Center. And, of course, funding for our student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. And our phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell.
Hi, this is Indy, Damara,
Haley, Max, Ronnie,
Stephen
from Cooley Connections in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
During our trip to Long Lake Conservation Center from February 24th through the 27th, we had a high temperature of 48 degrees Fahrenheit. The warmest it's been since October 19th. Most of the snow has melted and some of the trails have turned to a slushy soup.
Long Lake's otters liked the warm weather and popped out of a hole in the middle of the lake to enjoy the sun. It's the first otter sighting in many months. A trail camera was set up near its hole.
The otter looked healthy and strong. While we were exploring near the otter's hole, our group saw a star-nosed mole scurrying across the lake and found a dead one close by.
During a hike to an inactive beaver lodge, we noticed a hole dug up on the top. It looked like it might have been dug by a fox. We uncovered a small plant underneath the stone, and we were surprised it had green leaves. Our group noticed two newly chopped woodpecker holes and saw lots of deer scat and even some old grouse scat.
The squirrels ruled the day at the bird feeders. We tried to count them all, but they were too busy. A few were even chasing each other. Our guess is that there were close to 20 chunky squirrels. We saw a house finch, chickadee, nuthatches, and a red-bellied woodpecker.
An adult in another group said she heard a coyote calling at night. At dinner, a small herd of deer came to snack on what seeds the squirrels and birds had left behind. We think the Vikings are better than the Packers. It's a great time to explore nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live
connected.
And these kids are from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Well, that's a testimony there. I think what interested me there was the story about the otter and the beaver. And Bill, you've got some experience with both.
Yeah. A lot of experience.
Are the otters any more active now than any other time, or they just have more opportunities?
I think they're more obvious now because they're on the snow. They're on the snow around, you know, looking for a hole in the lake or a pond or a river, you know, and they're very active, getting ready to probably have some young pretty quick, you know. And so it's a very high activity period.
Where does an otter den, or where do they give birth? What's that like?
The otter dens along shorelines usually. Sometimes maybe even in an old beaver house.
Okay.
And I know by Knife River they have a den that's built into an old rock pile by the Knife River Railroad. And about every year they have two or three young in that old rock pile right next to the water.
Mm-hmm.
It must be pretty comfortable. And, of course, it's above water level. You know,
yeah.
And people see those young otter all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, very nice. The other thing I saw there that was kind of interesting was the star-nosed mole, and of course, a little bit outside of your bounds in terms of fur-bearing animals, but an unusual critter and so amazingly adapted to what it does. They are just, they're singular.
I don't know if you have time for a quick story, but I had a friend up at Reamer where I kind of grew up, and he had a star-nosed mole come into his house, and their Labrador backed it into a corner in one of the rooms, and that star-nosed mole grabbed on to the nose of that black lab right onto it. And the lab left the room shrieking and howling with that nose, with that mole hanging onto his nostrils right through the screen door.
I haven't got time to open the door.
No. That was pretty interesting. So they're voracious, you know.
Yeah.
They're meat eaters.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In that case, he was looking for a Labrador's nose.
Well, we have time for one more. Our next report comes from Lee Jackson and Darcy Rolfe's class at the North Shore Community School in Duluth.
Hello from the North Shore Community School on the North Shore of Lake Superior. This is a phenology report for the week of February 22nd, 2025. My name is Estelle, and I am your phenologist for this week. On Friday, February 22nd, the ice coverage on Lake Superior was reported at 31% along the south shore, which had nearly doubled over the previous 10 days. It is still below average. Monday, February 24th, at 7 a.m., it was 40 degrees outside. On Tuesday, February 25th, Miss Irwin saw patches of leaves and exposed dirt where there had just been snow a few days before. The snow is starting to melt at bases of trees in the forest. The bark warms up the sun and the trees store and radiate heat, melting the snow that is immediately surrounding the trunk. Also this day, 40.6 inches of snow was recorded for the season. This is a deficit of negative 25.1 inches from the average. This time last year, we had 18.5 inches of snow. Due to the warm weather this week, Monday's snow melt depth was 9 inches, Tuesday's was 7 more inches, and Wednesday's was an additional 5 inches. There is not any measurable fun snow to play with and any longer at recess, as there are only scattered ice patches. On Friday morning, February 28th, wind gusts at 40 to 50 miles per hour were recorded. On Sunday, February 23rd, Miss Urban saw a flock of pine siskins looking for food on the side of the road while she was on a walk. Lorelai and Iris were surprised when they saw a bald eagle soaring in the sky on their bus ride to school on Monday, February 24th. On Friday, February 28th, Miss Urban saw two goldfinches at the bird feeder at her house. They were still in their non-breeding plumage. On Wednesday, February 26th, Miss Earl's class found some big paw prints in the school forest. Miss Urban took a measuring tape out and the tracks were 4 inches long. The stride distance was nearly 60 inches. Based on the measurements, these could be gray wolf tracks. On Thursday, February 27th, Miss Urban noticed 11 inches of water and slush on top of the ice at Schmidt Creek. There is still a layer of ice underneath all the running water. Miss Jackson's class noticed that the water and ice level reached the bottom of the bridge. The snow on the nature trail was about 8 inches deep under the shelter of trees. It was icy, wet, and packy snow. This concludes the phenology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you, Estelle. Nice job. Lots of good observations there. You guys always have a great, I think it just the nature of getting out and checking, going down, looking at the stream down there, Schmidt Creek, and just checking all that stuff out. Very, very informative and educational for you guys. I'm envious that you get to look at that every week and kind of check things out. And the tracks, the big paw prints in the school forest, tracks were 4 inches long. The stride distance was nearly 5 feet. And that's a pretty solid track. It's either a very large dog or maybe a wolf, Bill.
Yeah, whereabouts is was
this?
This
is right in your neighborhood. This
yes,
is up the, Ryan
the,
Road
the
from
North
the
Shore
lake.
School. Yep. Yeah, it was very likely a wolf, you yeah. know, something like that. And, you know, a lynx also has a really big pad, huge, as with the same dimensions as the wolf, but it's really big and round. It's like your pet cat track, only magnified
yeah.
20 times,
yeah.
you know? But right. still, a cat track is a cat track.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you. And finally, we got a note from Judd Brink, and Judd has spent the winter doing some work at Sac Zim, as he kindly does. This winter at Sac Zim had an eruption of owls, great grays, rare boreals, unusually abundant from mid-January to early February. They were reported from two harbors to Duluth and the Sac Zim Bog. Folks traveled from across the country and around the world to see them. In the past week, we saw a Canada jay gathering nesting materials, noticed low numbers of pine grosbeaks, and observed a total of 21 bird species. Happy birding. And that from our friend Judd Brink. Thank you, Judd. Bill, what's your experience with Canada jays? I don't see very many anymore. I used to see them much more often.
You know, I guess I'd have to concur with you that I think I saw more. But you get up north a little bit farther, and I think they're still pretty common. Yeah. You know, I don't know if they're what the population status is, if it's going up or down. With some forestry management practices, it's possible that they get taken a little bit of a hit. But I remember when we used to deer hunt up around Togo and so forth, there were Canada Jays literally everywhere. So I think they're still okay. Still quite a few around. I have to admit, I've never seen one on the North Shore in that Knife River Two Harbors area. Mm-hmm. Never seen one. But they might be up on the hill somewhere. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty neat bird.
Yeah, definitely.
Campground thief. Yeah, really.
Right. Absolutely. Don't mind me. I'm just going to sit on your picnic table and steal your food.
Yeah. Coming up in this next half hour, we're going to be talking weather, including a story about the effects of the cuts to the National Weather Service.